Fox News and live FM talk radio. KKFT 99.1 FM talk. And live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. Yes, folks, it's almost time to plant your second try of tomatoes after the first batch was killed by the snow. Second try day on the calendar. I've been burned too many times. My dining room is filled with tomato plants. True. Honestly, today they're going to go back outside, maybe tomorrow. You have to make the most of the season, and any later, the season won't be long enough for the tomato plants. So if the soil is soft, do it. But then you'll probably have a third try. What do you do? In the studio, our first guest of the day here, Chris Patterson of the Sutro Tunnel.
Hey, John, thanks for having me here.
Do you live in the Sutro Tunnel?
No, I don't live in the tunnel. We do have a caretaker who lives on site, a local photographer, Asa Gilmore, and I actually live in Carson City myself.
All right, before I get to the questions, because we do get texts here, and I was just ranting about electricians and roofing, and I got two texts about some tips of who to go to. Western Pacific Electric and Great Basin Roofing. Thank you. All right, sorry, Chris. So a lot of people have, I think an awful lot of people have no idea what the Sutro Tunnel is. The concept just blows my mind about how you renovated this old miner's tunnel from, what, the 1800s? And you fixed it up to the point that you could walk, almost walk through it.
That's absolutely right. Now,
to the public we're talking about.
Yeah, we are a exclusive site at this time. We have two guided tours per month, and we're scheduling, we're hoping to do one event per month. We have to have guided tours due to insurance purposes. There's a lot of inherent dangers at this site. It's a nearly 28-acre historic site. The Sutro Tunnel was built, began in 1869 to drain the water of the mines of Virginia City. Also to ventilate it, because miners were dying of pneumoconiosis, which is silica in the lungs, before they invented the drill bits with water in there that would keep the silica level down. Also as an ingress and egress for workers and to transport the ore, but primarily the water. The water's still running today.
This is the water from that was pumped from the mines, right? So
that's right.
There's not a threat of flooding in the tunnel now, is there?
Well, the water will never stop running. In its heyday, it was going at over 4 million gallons of water per day. An incredible amount of water. Now we're looking to 30, 40 gallons per minute, which is quite a bit, but we do have an oasis out there. We have a 5 million gallon pond that is ours. Now, all of this was donated to our nonprofit organization, the Friends of Sutro Tunnel Charity. We've been taking all of our donations, the revenue from the tours, hat sales, merchandise sales, any of that 100% back into revitalizing the Sutro Tunnel and the Sutro Tunnel site.
How long is this tunnel?
It's nearly 4 miles long. It runs from Dayton to underneath of Virginia City, and it goes up the Savage Mine where it meets under C Street.
Man, what you could do with that? Some sort of transportation or something connecting the two? Have you thought of that?
Well, we've thought of a lot of stuff that we could do with it. In 1979, a company called Houston Oil and Minerals came out to this area, and they were mining silver. Silver was way high in 79. They got back into the tunnel 2,500 feet and hit a clay wall. Now, this isn't just a thin paper clay wall. This is hundreds of feet thick, full of hydrostatic pressure. This is all water that's in there. Then at 1,500 feet, they built a dam. This water, though, is geothermal. So if you can imagine, 1,000-foot long underground geothermal hot springs that you can boat and swim in.
Inside the tunnel?
Inside the tunnel. Under the mountain.
Oh, do it.
We are. That's, hopefully we'll be able to get back to that 1,500-foot level. It's all donations,
oh,
like I said.
Oh, my gosh. The mind can go crazy over what you could do with this tunnel. And what an unbelievable waste it was to just leave it vacant and ignored for what, 100 years?
Well, it actually operated. A lot of people
Went to World War II. And then
that's right. A lot of people used to be under the impression that all mining went down after the big bonanza in the 1890s and early 1900s. Mm-hmm. But no, mining continued in this area. They just needed less workers. But it was really December 1942, Executive Order L-208 that shut down all non-essential mining. And after that, they tried to operate here and there, but they couldn't actually do any mining, so there's no more ore transportation through there. And it sat vacant until the early 1960s. A guy named Robin Larson moves out there, gets the lease, opens a saloon, built the saloon in our old warehouse, and a lot of people of note in local history were there. Pierce Powell, Stoney Tennant. You can watch their interviews on our YouTube.
What warehouse?
The warehouse that's on site. We have multiple historic buildings from the early 1900s, late 1800s that we're revitalizing.
So these are at one end of the Sutro Tunnel, right?
On the 28-acre site that was donated to us.
And is
in
this
Dayton.
In Dayton? Okay. And this is open now, this pub in, that's still there in Dayton?
The saloon closed down quite a bit after.
Oh, it did? Oh,
we're talking
darn.
1980s. I am inside the tunnel. We're hoping to maybe put a specialty cocktail bar in there. So when you have an event, get a cocktail, go swimming.
You say it's somewhat dangerous, and that's why you do the guided tours. Yeah. Nobody can just... What danger is there? What could happen?
Well, for example... last Sunday on a volunteer day, unfortunately, our volunteer coordinator, Pam Abercrombie, I wish she was here with us today, and it's her birthday. Happy birthday, Pam. Her dog, unfortunately, was bit on the nose by a rattlesnake, so we have rattlesnakes out there. We have nails, all sorts of metal comes up out of the ground all the time. The site started in 1869, and it's all dump. When they pulled the dirt out of the mountain, the rock, the soil out, they dumped it and built the site. So things pop up out of the ground. There's also the old swimming pool that they dug, that a lot of inherent dangers, so it needs to be a guided.
You know, as dangerous as this sounds, I am just blown away that the government lets you take the public in there. I mean, they just want to keep us safe so much, right? Where they got to coddle us and baby us and everything. And here they gave you the permit, huh?
Well, believe it or not, there is no regulatory body that I could find for underground tours in the state
kidding.
Of Nevada. Nothing.
Oh, my
we
gosh.
Tried. We tried. We went out. We have a laundry list of rules to go into that tunnel that we submitted to our insurance to be able to have the insurance for entrance on tours. But there's no regulatory body. I went to Colorado and all
so
over
does that
United
mean
States.
You can just do what you want?
We technically we could do what we want, but we want to make sure that we're safe and do this under existing guidelines throughout other states in the
I'm
nation.
Surprised even that a government body gave turned this over to some sort of private type charity concern to do what they want with it.
So the site wasn't owned by the government at any time. It was in private hands, and those private donors donated it to our nonprofit. They also helped create this nonprofit that they formulated in 2020. Right. They hired me in September of 21. We spoke with the state parks to see about their interest in getting involved and maybe taking it over. Their comment to us, and this was a big meeting, their main comment was, you guys are making too much progress too fast. We couldn't do this. You keep doing that, and let's revisit this conversation.
See, they were thinking government schedule, you know.
Which is well, so even the employees know they go slow.
We can't build anything here. Okay, so how wide is the tunnel? How high is the tunnel? You said it's how many miles long?
Well, we've made it back about 50 feet so far.
Okay.
It's been over $170,000 for this initial 50 feet. You can watch the video on our YouTube of how we were able to do this and how much costs. Each vertical slat right now we're selling for $5,000. You get your name on there.
Cool.
And each horizontal is $250.
Is the tunnel open all the way through?
We send in a drone. And now we just sent in a second drone. This is what told us originally over a year ago that we could proceed in there. There was a huge collapse in the front of this tunnel. And this is by E-Rock.
When was this?
This was winter of 21. I think it was December, maybe January 22. E-Rock and Associates came out and they sent in an Elios 2 confined space underground drone that did air quality tests, LIDAR, 3D rendering, and it showed us behind the main collapse. It was wide open so we could proceed. They just came out again last Thursday during our huge event and flew the drone in again and saw even further back.
The fire in your eyes. You love this tunnel. You are crazed.
I do get excited about it. Thank you.
All right, so you just had an event. What event? What's the next event? What can you do with the tunnel to raise funds and make it fun?
We're working on more events. If anybody out there wants to hold one at our site, get a hold of me. We can work with you on
a private party.
Private parties. We're exclusive by nature.
Oh, my gosh, great.
So you get a huge site, an oasis, a pond, a tunnel, multiple buildings that you can have your own parties at. But the next big event that's currently scheduled is this year's Mackie Muckers Mining Competition. We were here last year on the radio talking about that. We got almost 200 attendees. This year, we're hoping to be able to bring in multiple schools. And if we do a really good job, puts us in the running for the World Mining Competitions in 3 years. So wish us luck on that.
Got to go after that, my man.
Yes, sir.
All right, so where's this YouTube? This sounds fascinating.
Yeah, just check out Sutro Tunnel.
On YouTube.
Just type that in. You'll get to our YouTube channel.
Oh, wow.
Subscribe to it, please.
I'm going to do that. And so we don't miss out on your future events. Where should people, you have a Facebook friend that people can
We're really active on Facebook. Please go on there. Sign up on our website.
What's the Facebook page called?
Sutro Tunnel Restoration Project.
Okay.
Or just type in Sutro Tunnel. You'll see it.
All right. Yeah. Okay, cool. Awesome. one of these things that you won't find anywhere else but here.
Well, that's it.
Where the tunnel is open and you can, I mean, I just can't think of what I would go through my mind walking through this thing.
Well, you got to come out and see it sometime.
I got to, my friend. Chris Patterson, Sutro Tunnel Advocate, I guess we can call you, right?
Yeah, advocate would be good.
Okay, super cool. Chris, so cool to meet you, man.
Thanks, John.
And let's keep in touch, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. All right, John Potter here. This is The Weekend, live and local, and the phone lines are open for anything you want to bring up, 775-884-9910. Thank you for the electric person recommendation and the roofer recommend. See, I'm benefiting personally from this gig. It's 1017 on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
News and talk.
My gas bill this month is insane.
What are they? Spy balloons from China? UFOs from outer space?
Now with John and Jay.
I'm kind of concerned that the government is putting more and more restrictions in our lives.
The Weekend, live and local.
You got to have a rattle behind that saber.
On News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
My back hurts. Is it because I'm growing my angel wings? I think so. 1021, John Potter here. It's this is The Weekend. That's the name of the show. Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. We have our next guest coming up in about 10 minutes. The dog whisperer of Reno. Yes, we have one. Can't wait to meet Peggy. That's coming up in a few minutes. I have to talk about the new show at the El Dorado, the new Cabaret Le Cirque show. That's right, downtown at the El Dorado. Amazing performances by the cast and a great fun show for the whole family. Extra special because casino shows, I mean the resident ensemble shows, are very rare now. It's not like it was in the 70s where I tell people all the time, it was like downtown was alive. We had like 20 big casinos downtown. Half of them had like these stage shows. So I think the El Dorado is the only one doing these ensemble shows that stay there for a season or two. You know, a lot of folks were worried when the El Dorado went under the Caesars umbrella of ownership that things would not be the same. Nope, still great. I had the same worries when Louis Bass Corner was sold. Louis sold it to two young guys like 10 years ago. And I was having a panic attack. Oh, no, it's going to change. No, not to worry. It's just as good as before. Maybe even better. I was surprised and relieved. I mean, Louis is one of those things that Reno must not ever be without, like Casale's, even the Calneva. They are too Reno to lose. Now, there are also places that got bought out and went to hell. But I won't read that list. You folks can give us your reviews. Our phone number is 775-884-9910. I think the latest owner of Grand Sierra Resort has improved the place after it was horribly stripped down when Hilton bought it from MGM. You remember that, old timers? Oh my gosh, they took the chandeliers down and gave it a Western theme to what was a palace. But this new owner, I'm not new, really. It's been 5 or 6 years that Grand Sierra Resort has really put a lot of money into the place. Circus, still going the same. Went from MGM to Caesars. So anyway, I'm very excited that Eldorado is keeping this old Reno tradition alive. Take your family, because the Cirque shows are not my thing. I thought this was great. I thought it was fantastic. I promised on Facebook I'd do a little bit of red meat politics to make the boss happy. The only thing I was interested in, well, of course, we were all fascinated with the thing with Tucker Carlson and Don Lemon lost their cable shows at the exact same time on Monday. They should both apply for each other's previous job. Wouldn't you love that? Both, though, are show hosts. They are not journalists. The days of actual journalism, as we once knew it, are pretty much gone. If a cable network wants to cater to just one side of the political spectrum, it's not news reporting, of course, it's influencing. And just this morning, I read an article from Yahoo. First mistake I know that told us why they thought Tucker left. Keyword, thought. Well, when you really truly find out the right answer, then maybe you should report it to them. Now, both the Tucker and Lemonhead may be irritating, but you have to admit that both were effective spokesmen for their separate political persuasions. And we should be very wary of the silencing of voices on either side. As for the president, you may have heard or seen the story. Well, probably not, because I only caught this in the New York Post and I didn't see it covered anywhere else. A cheat sheet held by President Biden during a Wednesday press conference revealed that the 80-year-old commander-in-chief had advanced knowledge of a question from a journalist. On the cheat sheet card, caught by a camera with a zoom lens, was this printed question in bold print. Well, at least it wasn't in large type and spelled words phonetically. In bold print from a Los Angeles Times reporter, which she in turn later read to the president. This is my 42nd year in the news business. It is and always has been unethical to supply questions beforehand. It's not journalism. It's propaganda theater, a staged performance, complicity. And by the way, when was the last time we had an unscripted president? For those who weren't around then, I actually remember watching JFK speak with reporters, and it was always real. You know, since then, I think it's been speechwriters. I was in fifth grade back then. If there was a JFK press conference, we were glued to it in black and white. I think back then or before then, presidents would actually write their own speeches. Now we have a president who is not trusted by his own staff to answer questions, except for in the way those running the White House / those who control it want it done. We're reduced now to having our president allow them to write his own agenda and policy, and the quote journalists, unquote, who are told to supply questions beforehand and dutifully comply for a stage performance are just as much guilty. But they're following kind of the mainstream agendas, you know, mainstream media's agenda. Well, John Potter, didn't you have an agenda, Channel 2? Yes, I did. My agenda was in favor of reporting both sides of the news story, not just one. Anyway, latest polls show that the top two contenders for the White House in 2024, the top two to choose from so far, are President Biden and Donald Trump, which for voters is like deciding whether to live in Iraq or Iran. Honestly, Biden versus Trump is like making a sequel to the movie Cats. And it will be the first presidential debates where the closed captioning will be for the participants. Oh, that's got to get some phone calls. That is guaranteed to get calls.
Speaking of calls,
I just want to say one thing. When President Biden, you must have missed this, Phil. When President Biden announced he was running again to win over the progressive left of the party, Biden made the announcement in drag while he was wearing a mask.
I thought he was holding a can of Bud Light.
And yes, And Bud Light, too, yes. Yes, to please that wing of the party.
Hey, a quick behind-the-scenes note here, John.
Yes.
We've had three phone calls from concerned people about the dog who got bit by the rattlesnake.
Did I miss a great story?
No, no. I haven't seen your Sutro Tunnel guest, his coworker.
He mentioned it, and I didn't follow up.
Yeah, his coworker Pam, her dog got bit by a rattlesnake on the nose. We've had three calls from concerned citizens wondering what happened to the poor dog.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe that flew right over my head. I'm so sorry.
I'm hoping.
Well, I'll tell you what, Phil. Yeah. This will get the listeners next weekend. Let's keep them all in suspense, and I'll reveal the answer next Saturday. It's all about promotion, folks. 9 to noon, the weekend, live and local. I'm John Potter. The Dog Whisperer, Peggy, is up next. Interesting talk for sure. This is going to be our phone number, 775-884-9910. We're going to break for Fox News at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Hello, I'm John Potter, and I miss the days when if you could not rap, you didn't. That's a meme that made me laugh this morning. See, I got to use those because my writers are on strike, Peggy.
I'm a writer. I'll be there for you.
This is Peggy Rue.
Yes.
The Dog Whisperer of Reno.
I don't know who gave you that. I'm joking.
you're not that. Who are you?
I am all things pets, so not just the dog whisperer. I will whisper to any animal that will let me.
Well, see, now, yeah, people call you the dog whisperer.
Yeah, they
because
do.
They say, oh, Peggy's going to be the dog whisperer. And would you write a book?
I did. That's my dog bite prevention educational coloring book, which is still fun to color.
A dog bite coloring book.
Dog bite prevention.
And you did this because you had a personal experience with a youngster who got bit?
No, it was because when I started that book 12 years ago, there was an increase in dog bite reports. So it looked like dogs were biting more. But what had happened was a law had been passed that any pet bite that had been treated by a medical professional needed to be reported to the county health department and Washoe County Animal Services. So it wasn't that dog bites were increasing, it was the reporting had increased. But I felt that we needed a dog bite prevention educational coloring book because pit bulls were the ones that were getting blamed for all of this. And I have, as a pet nanny, I have had the most lovable pit bulls, so any dog can bite.
What? Tell us how you became to love dogs. Was it your first one?
I don't remember, but my sister in Grand Junction, Colorado, is listening, and she still tells people that I have always loved pets.
You were born with
it. I was born with the instinct.
Me too.
And so that was where I was directed, and it has made me a full life and a career. I've been doing it my lifetime, but working at it for 40 years.
You have the heart that I do. Of course, now I probably go beyond you, Peggy, because not only do I passionately love dogs and cats, and folks, if you were listening earlier, my entire newscast was about animal issues. It was very animal-centric newscast. I even believe that inanimate objects have feelings. And there's a name for that.
There is, and I don't remember it.
Like when I turned in my car one time, I was getting a new car, and I dropped off the used one, and I left it there in the lot and walked back in the dealer, and I stopped, and I turned around, and I went back, and I put my hand on the vehicle with tears in my eyes and talk to it for a minute.
Well, especially if you gave it a name.
They'll find out I'm nuts.
Yep.
So, okay, so your first dog was a very special one, obviously.
Well, yeah, several. So, and I still remember them. They're Scout and Parky.
Yeah.
And we also had a pet pigeon for some silly reason.
No kidding. I have sugar gliders, cats, and dogs. I'm in the cat stage now.
Yeah, we are too.
So this term I hear at rescue places or animal control, unadoptable.
Yeah.
What and why? What makes a dog unadoptable? Who puts that label on him?
Well, you have to go into the back rooms and the dark places of animal services to see what we see in Reno. And there are still dog fighting rings. There are very cruel people out there. And if a dog has been treated or trained in a very negative way, it can be unadoptable. So it will maybe go to a sanctuary like
it
canine.
It can't be trained reverse?
It depends on how old it is.
Oh, that's
I mean,
tragic.
It's ingrained.
That is tragic. But, and I really get very upset and nervous when somebody puts... Oh, I'm moving, I can't keep this cat.
Or we just had a baby, we can't keep the dog.
Right. Well, first off, they're members of the family. I don't care. You have to do everything you can to keep them.
Yeah.
But there are people out there who look for these free ads for things like what you just talked about.
Yes.
We've had some horrible stories about people picking up these animals. And frankly, if you can't afford to have a pet, you shouldn't have one.
And that's, I say that all the time. If you can't afford it, if you can't afford food and medical and vaccinations and training, and then you can't afford the time to take it for walks and show it compassion, and if you don't have the wherewithal to include it in everything you do, then don't get one. And I'm pretty harsh about that.
Yeah, so am I. Where have you been all my life?
I don't know. Well, you went to Vegas for 10 years, remember?
Yeah. So I think this is a very sad time for dogs, especially dogs, because you used to look out the window and see kids playing outside.
Right.
With their dogs.
Yep.
And now they sit with the computer or the PlayStation all the time. Think how the dog feels not getting the interaction at all.
No, not even any eye contact.
Right.
Reach down and pet them.
I got to stop the sad
stop it.
Stuff.
Get back to me.
It's real sad stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
What is your thing, all things pets?
It is that I have been a pet nanny for 40 years.
Does that mean you go to a house and watch the pets while the
people are gone?
Traveling?
And okay. I am one of the few that spend the night still. In fact, I'm doing one this weekend with two 16-year-old dogs and a 16-year-old teenager.
Do you actually live in the house?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I spend the night.
Okay.
I also will just go and visit. I will do insulin shots, which I have one client that has one that I have to go every 12 hours. I will pick up as much poop as needed. I'll tell you, it's made me a living for 40 years. Also, I teach dog and cat first aid and CPR. And that is really...
There's cat CPR?
Yes. I can teach you to do cat CPR.
I know. I have three cats.
Well,
I should know this.
You should know this.
Cat CPR.
Yes.
Well, somebody has to do it.
Somebody. And what if there's nobody around but you?
Do you go to classrooms and...
I will gather a group of people wherever it's needed. Since COVID hit, there's not a lot of places that just say, come and use our classrooms. So I need to be invited to a place like I used to use animal services all the time. Mm-hmm. But I will go to a house and do a group of family and friends. I will go to a daycare, a doggy daycare, to a grooming shop.
This sounds like a full-time career here.
It could be. I've been teaching for 15 years.
Are you a teacher now?
I am.
Where?
I'm still teaching the dog and cat first aid and CPR.
Oh, I thought you were school or something.
I've taught at TMCC. I've taught writing because I'm also a writer and an author and copy editor.
Let me guess, all the books about dogs?
Not everything.
Okay.
I'm a very prolific poet.
Are you?
Yes.
Let's hear one.
I don't memorize my poems.
Oh, gosh. Come on.
Hey, I brought
Rick, I don't believe that.
I brought Rick Carter a book. You should steal his. Go read his.
So this coloring book,
yes.
Where can people get this?
Right now they can get it from me, but it's in the process of being graphically transformed to go onto Amazon by June. So
it's going to be digital.
Yeah,
how could you color a digital book?
You have to order the you have to order a print book. It's a print on demand. Yeah. But right now they can get them from me locally right here at rewcrew.com, or they can find me on Facebook.
Okay, so that's R-E-W Crew. Doc, that's your website.
Rew Crew, R-E-W-C-R-E-W.
Is this coloring book tell a story?
It does. I tell you, as an adult or a five-year-old, how dogs communicate with their senses, because that's the only way they can tell us if they don't feel good or if they're happy or you taste good. So that's where the accidental dog bites come in.
Oh, I wish my cats could talk. But then again,
maybe not. No, John.
food.
So anyway, I go through all the senses. So eyes, ears, nose, tongue, touch, everything that tells you what they're feeling and if it's okay to be their friend.
Dogs have amazing stories of strength, triumph, and survival. Share one or two with us.
Strength and survival.
Dogs that, amazing dogs you've known, and really they have a deep character to them. I'm sure some of these stories would be rich.
Well, I can share with you several. Right inside the cover here, my husband and I adopt senior dogs that have been dumped or abandoned or orphaned.
God bless you.
And so many of them, like this guy, this was our very first, Reckless. His dad died of cancer.
Uh-huh.
And the mom decided to get rid of, the wife decided to get rid of everything that belonged to the dad, including the dog, and she was going to take him to the pound. And we said no. It was a neighbor, it was a friend of a neighbor. And so he was 11 and a half, or 7 when we got him. He lived to be 11 and a half. Some of them, we got them at 11, and they lived to be 15 and a half. These are all dogs that have just been either dumped, the parent died. I just rehomed one last week that was almost 13, and his dad suddenly died. And I found a home for him. And that's the heart for me is rehoming those seniors that are just left.
Big soft spot for them. Yeah. They're in a cage thinking, what the heck happened?
What the heck? And they grieve. People don't realize. They may not cry, but they grieve.
Oh, I know.
It is so hard. And most of the time, they'll go into a depression. But all they want is their own person, a soft bed, and good food to eat.
All right. Let's have you back sometime. I didn't have any questions for you.
That's okay.
I have an issue with a printer. And I had the best questions for you. This show's all ad-lib today. So
they couldn't tell.
I'm going to go home. Oh, I should have asked her this and this.
Well, we're going to do it again.
Let's do it again.
Okay. We need a whole show every week on pets.
I got pages of cat questions.
Okay.
So, Peggy, thank you so much for coming out. And
you're
again,
welcome.
It's rewcrew.com, R-E-W-C-R-E-W.com. And she will stay at the house when you travel and take care of your dogs.
Yep.
And cats.
And cats and birds and iguanas. I even have koi.
Oh, so do I.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Peggy. Thank you. Folks, our phone number is 775-884-9910. I'm John Potter. The show is The Weekend Live and Local. We're going to talk about stuff when we come back. 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. What was I going to say? I'm John Potter. This is The Weekend, live and local, 100% here at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. What do I do now besides this? I go around and I do speeches. I've spoken at a lot of Rotaries, retired public employees, folks, Kiwanis, Optimist Club, and it's mainly about, I become a senior advocate pretty much, and I received an email this week from a newly retired former store office employee. It's a short email. It reads, "My store manager never acknowledged my last day working. My department manager never acknowledged it. No card, no flowers, not even a thank you for your time, no handshake, no thank you for your service email to the staff, or even a private congrats from the owner, not even an exit interview. 35 years, and I guess I have no suggestions to help this fine company for the future. That's what she says. So the point is, this office worker spent 35 years of her life with this firm, and when the job was done, the job was done. At the end of their last shift, that was it. The door is that way. Adios. That's not good. I know someone who worked in the healthcare field here in town in Reno, 28 years of service. No card, no email, no cake, no birthday, no thank you for your service, nothing. Last year, a friend of mine, 23 years on the job, was told that she had to attend a Zoom meeting, and she signs on, and there's a manager on the screen with an HR person telling her, sorry, but your job has been eliminated. Again, no card for management or from the people she worked with. Not a single solitary thing. This was last year, and she is still trying to recover from it. That's just wrong. It's immoral and wrong. And it makes me wonder if this is how they treat loyal employees, if that's how they treat those loyal ones, how do they treat their patients and their problems? Now, many will say, well, you know, that's corporate America, John. It's corporations and that's capitalism. No, it's not. It's people. Management is people. And it doesn't cost them 1 cent to sincerely thank you for your service and make you feel appreciated. There's no corporation that has a policy against that. But what happens now is that many of these retirees regret that they gave so much of themselves, going over and above, filling in and picking up the pieces from the other employees, and they regret taking away so much time from their families, thinking their job was so important, when it turns out apparently it wasn't. Yes, it's true that nobody's opinion of you and your work is more important than your own, but we are social beings, and approval from others and appreciation for hard work, that beats all. Does anybody remember the big retirement parties? You know, for workers who spent decades at a company, there'd be the small banquet with a punch bowl and sandwiches, and at the end of the room, there would be a table full of the upper echelon chiefs. And sometimes the out-of-town corporate manager or owner would be there, thanking you for your service. Maybe give you that watch. I think the last time I saw that was in the movie about Schmidt with Jack Nicholson. Now we have managers who can't take 15 minutes to send off an employee with 30 years there. I've been to a few send-off parties where management doesn't even show up. It's like we trusted you for 20 or 30 years, but we don't know. We don't now, so you have to go over and clean out your desk and get out of here. Or they tell you after you walk out the door, sorry, don't come back Monday. Those things somewhere in HR heaven, that might make sense. But HR heaven, that's what the rest of us call hell, right? Don't do it that way. The point is, when you don't give somebody that time and respect, you send them off into life, and it eats at them. And it will eat at them as long as they live. And they start asking questions like, did I throw away my life? Am I forever cut off? Let me tell you the right way to do things, because I'm arrogant that way. I'm a professional microphone operator, so I know how to do things. I think it's so important for there to be a real farewell. I think when something comes to an end, like a career, whether it ends with a happy retirement or it ends with, you get kicked out or downsized, or, you know, they don't like old people anymore, which is why a lot of firings take place, if we can be honest about it. But the human thing to do is to let there be a leave-taking, a real farewell. From a personal, emotional, psychological standpoint, people have to have an opportunity to see that they made a difference, The structure in which they operate needs to say goodbye to them. It needs to recognize what they've done. And here's the deal. When I first came to town in 1978 after college back in Reno, we had party houses. Remember party houses, people? Not restaurants. They would be there just to host parties, private parties and banquets. People used to get together and socialize. People used to be in bowling leagues. Well, they still are, but not like it was. People would be in the Masons. They'd be in the Lions clubs. They were in the Elks. People went into stuff and each other, right? There used to be more softball leagues with your coworkers. People used to like each other back in the day. And when a fellow worker retired, there'd be a banquet, a special retirement party. That stopped years ago. Actually, if you were here before the 90s, you remember this. Reno had all these banquet rooms. They'd host retirement parties at the presidential car at Harold's Club or the Mape Sky Room. So I'd like to see that send-off be like it was, because it was very special back in the day. And I'm old. I can say that. Our phone number, 775-884-9910. We're going to be back with our third guest on the weekend, live and local. I'm John Potter. Thank you so much for tuning in, but we have another hour to go. We're going to break for Fox News right now. We'll be back.